Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Berkeley Alumni's Pass the Mic, where we pass the mic to you. My name is Jaquel Illy.
I'm Patrick Farma, and we are live.
Yes, we are. Today is a really big day. Yep. And why is it a big day? Like, where are we today?
Today is our very first live podcast episode from the GBH studio at the Boston Public Library.
Whoop, whoop. Yes.
Right across from the Newsfeed Cafe. If you're going to get something at the Newsfeed Cafe, I recommend the gym. This is usually what I get.
It's so cool to be here, and we are very thankful that GBH, Boston Public Library, the Newsfeed Cafe, thank you for having us here.
How you feeling, Jaquel?
I'm excited. I think this is going to be an amazing show, as always.
Well, I'm terrified, so it's a good thing that you're doing good.
No need. I'm here.
I did a little research for how to tips for live podcasts.
Uh-oh. What did you find?
Well, do you want me to read them to you?
Yes. Go ahead.
Do you know what the first tip is?
Have an audience?
No, actually. we should ask each other questions.
Okay.
They might be questions you already know the answer to, but the audience may not.
Okay.
And we do this a lot, and sometimes like we ask each other questions, and I'm like, I hope people know that we know what the answer is.
Like, yeah, you know.
Do you know where Berklee College of Music is?
Whoa.
We were going to do a trivia of Berklee, like trivia stuff, and see if we knew, and we were like, if we didn't get something right, that was just a wrap. So so this is the bit instead.
Yeah.
The next thing is to make it special for your audience and include them.
Okay.
So welcome, audience.
Welcome, audience. Thanks for tuning in. Yes. Welcome to the show.
Just know that you are included in the sound of the podcast.
Right.
And so I hope you feel included and special now. The next one, I went to ChatGPT just to see what the robots have to say. and ChatGPT said, create a comfortable environment. Manage nerves. If it's your first time hosting live, it's normal to feel nervous. Practice a few times and focus on enjoying the moment. The audience will follow your lead.
Mm.
Which I thought for an AI algorithm was very social emotional.
Very intelligent, you know, huh?
I thought that was very good. So thank you, robots. have someone handle the technical parts so you can be fully present. And there's a whole room of about like 16 people back here.
Yes.
Who have been magnificent. Really have made me feel, even though I'm terrified, a little less terrified.
Yes, they have been really calming, which is really great.
And then the last one is take a deep breath and relax.
Okay, maybe we should try that. Ready?
Yep.
3, 2, 1.
Hoosah.
Okay, I think it worked.
All right.
All right, so who do we have for our first guest today?
We have LaToya Lee, who... I'm going to ask you the question now because I asked Jaquel to do all the reading because you're welcome. So who's LaToya Lee?
Yes. So LaToya Lee is a music executive with over 15 years of experience, has helped shape platinum selling records as an A&R executive at Warner Music Group. She worked with this year's Berklee Alumni Achievement Award recipient Charlie Puth, Trey Songz, Nicki Minaj, and Flo Rida, and played a key role in crafting soundtracks for blockbuster films like Furious 7, The Fate of the Furious, and Suicide Squad. As Berklee's Director of Industry Relations, LaToya strives to bridge the gap between education and the ever-evolving music business. Everybody, let's welcome LaToya Lee. Welcome to our show. It's a pleasure to have you here. So to start, we want to know what your origin story is. Like, how did you get involved into the music industry?
Okay, do you want the long story or the short story?
Whatever you want to give.
You got a tight schedule today, so let's get the medium story.
I'll give you the long story.
Yeah.
So I come from music. I grew up singing, rapping, writing, producing. I was 10 years old, like spending every day in the studio. My stepdad had a record label and recording studio when I was growing up in Atlanta. That's where I'm from. And every day after basketball practice, band practice, after school, I was in the studio. So that was my life from 10 years old to when I went to college. I went to Georgia State University And when I was in college, again, I've always known that music was it for me. So when I was in school, I was so focused on life after college. So mm-hmm. even though I was in school, I was always trying to figure it out in the industry. Atlanta was growing at the time, and it was very important for me to get my foot in the door early. So for me, Boyz II Men is my favorite group of all time. They are the reason why I fell in love with music. On Bended Knee is my favorite song of all time. So I fell in love with music when I was 6 years old, and I've known that that was it for me. So basically, when I got to college, I was an artist, and then I transitioned into songwriting, really focusing on being a songwriter. And then by the time I was a junior in college, I became an assistant at Convict Music, at the height of Convict Music. So when Akon, Lady Gaga, and T-Pain were all having their moment, I was an assistant there to the SVP of A&R. And then from there, everyone that I went to college with, like, pretty much knew that music was what I did. So they would always bring artists to me. They would always be like, hey, my friend sings, my friend does this. And one of their friends actually was really good. And so I was an assistant at the time, and now I'm in my senior year. And I bring her to my boss, and I'm like, hey, I think she's amazing. They wind up signing her, and then he said, you found her, show me what you can do. So now I'm a month from college graduation, and now I'm in A&R. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow. So now I'm literally a month from college graduation, and I'm like, okay, it's happening for me now.
Right.
So I gave myself a little more time to determine whether or not I wanted to stay in Atlanta or not. And I ultimately determined that I wanted to go to LA. So an opportunity presented itself for me to become an A&R at Warner Music Group. So I was in A&R at Warner Music Group for 6 years. I A&R'd 3 albums for Trey Songz. I signed an artist named Sabrina Claudio. I'm Jamaican, so I signed an artist named Cranium. That was very important for me and my culture to sign an artist that was, you know, that comes from where I'm from. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, I worked on soundtracks for Fast and Furious 7, Suicide Squad, and Fast and Furious 8. I was a part of creating See You Again with Wiz Khalifa and Charlie Puth. So yeah, and then I also worked on GDFR for Flo Rida and Stage of Gemini. After 6 years at Warner Music Group, I transitioned into music publishing. And so I became a vice president at Atlas Music Publishing, where I was tasked with building the urban roster. And so I spent those 3 years really signing producers and songwriters within the R&B, hip hop, Afrobeats, reggae, dancehall space. And then after 3 years at at Atlas Music Publishing, the pandemic happened, right? So now I have time to think. Yeah. I'm like, okay, what do I want to do next? And a lot of opportunities were coming for me to manage. A lot of people were always coming to me like, hey, you know everybody. Could you please like come and, you know, manage or help me or co-manage this, whatever with me? And so I decided to branch into management. And that's what I was doing prior to coming to Berkeley. Now, ultimately, the next question I'm sure is going to be why Berkeley, right? So I'll go ahead and get into that for you.
How'd you know?
So for me, it was at this point a full circle moment. I think for me, I always knew that ultimately I would end up in academia at some point in my career, right? Mm. So that means in the scope of just helping the next generation. As the years that I spent in the business, I would have songwriters, producers, artists come to my office, especially early on in their careers, and they would come and they would ask me for advice. And I would have these moments where years like late, like somewhere down the line, they would either come and they would say, I appreciate everything you ever told me and thank you, you didn't have to. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of times it was, I wish I would have listened. And enough of the wish I would have listened was enough for me to say, I need to catch it at the root. Mm-hmm. And so coming here to Berkeley, which is literally the pinnacle, like this is where it all starts. The best of the best is here at Berkeley. And so for me, that was very important to be a part of the next generation before they're actually in the industry where they don't listen.
Right, yeah.
Right? Where Absolutely. They're like early in their careers, they're not even in their careers fully, and they're just wanting to figure it out. And I understand as someone who's still, you know, who's still in the industry, they'll look at me and they'll hear what I have to say.
Yeah.
And then for me, as I tell the students, you know, I'm still young enough to relate to you, but I'm seasoned enough to affect change. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's very important for me now to be at Berkeley. And then my relationships. I get to use them for good.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about market share. I don't have to worry about, you know, oh, I have a hit record. I need to get another hit record. All I have to do is focus on the students, and that's all I care about.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's really important. I look at when people graduate from art schools, you go from having a learner's permit to a driver's license. And once you get that plastic, it's like, okay, now I got this. And I remember when I left film school, I came back to Boston. I was like, I'm here. Who wants me? And I'm still sitting here. You know, it's like, it would be great if I had someone like that to be like, well, listen, you know, you want to do this the right way before you get ready to go.
Yeah, I think it's important to be able to, you know, give them information and try to advise them as best as I can without, you know, making them feel discouraged, mm-hmm. right, or disheartened. I think that it's important to give them the realistic point of view and then allowing them to take that information and do with it as they will. I'm very firm in this, personal life and professional. I can advise you, but ultimately it's your life to live. I did my part.
Right.
At that point, you do with everything that I told you what you will.
Yeah, so as you explained, you have like such a long resume in the music industry. So from your perception, like what was your perception of Berklee from somebody who was in the industry? Like what did you think of it before coming here?
I tell the students lead with Berklee.
Mm.
Because Berklee will get you in the room, but what keeps you in the room? So Berklee opens the door, it gets you in the room. At that point, it's you who has to really show why you're in that room.
Yeah.
So for me, when someone, so in addition to working with Charlie, I also signed a songwriter to Atlas Music Publishing who was a student at Berklee.
Oh.
So not only did I work with someone on the record side from Berklee, I also worked with someone and signed them and also, you know, allowed them to have some money to make a living once they left Berklee.
Yeah.
On the publishing side. So for me, you say Berklee, my ears perk up, my eyes open wide. Now play the music.
Mm-hmm.
Now show me who you are as a person.
Yeah. Yeah, we talk a lot about like being a good hang. You know, it's long hours. So if you can get in the door, then you have to be able to sustain yourself, you know, with other people and be a good partner and all that stuff.
Yeah, I tell them, be cool.
Right.
Like, I always tell them that, like, people in the industry are a lot more cool than you realize. You just have to, it's about your initial approach. Mm-hmm. Once you get through that initial approach, that will determine, you know, like that will set the tone for what it ultimately is going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. So what in your experience do you see in the industry and happening in the industry, and how has that informed the work that you do in industry relations with the students?
I mean, the industry is constantly changing and evolving. I think that I'm in a unique position in the sense of where I'm in the career center. So my role is to, like, I have to be in the know, mm-hmm. of what's going on, of who's, not only who's looking, but in addition to, you know, internships, in addition to opportunities for our students to perform,
mm-hmm.
you know, like there's like, my team is the industry and employer engagement team. So not only are we engaging with the industry, we're also engaging with employers. So it's very important when opportunities are coming, like for instance with Career Jam, we also do the expo in the fall as well, for job and careers in the fall. And then Career Jam is like our big event for the year. I made a lot of calls this year. This is my first Career Jam, and it was very important for me for the students to see these different careers within the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Not just A&R, not just management, not just a singer, but brand partnerships,
yeah.
culture marketing. Tour, live, you know, being a live musician in addition to someone running lights on tour, like all of these different things. So I do my best to get them to really break it down, right? You have this foundation, so all they, you see this table, but this table has to be on a foundation, and this riser has to be on the floor, and then the floor has to be on something else, and then like there are levels to it.
Yeah.
And so I always try to get them to understand that just because you see Sony Music Group, there's Columbia Records.
Mm-hmm.
Under Columbia Records is Parkwood. Under Parkwood is Beyonce.
Right.
Not
sure.
Just Sony. So I really try to get them to understand that everything isn't just what you see. Like you have to have that ability to see all these different things. So that's my job, is to say, hey, I have friends who may have started out at a record label, but now they run their own company. Mm-hmm. And what that means is that they have opportunities that they can also, they don't have to go through the usual red tape that you might have to go through if you're trying to get to a major record label or a major publisher or anything like that. So mm-hmm. that's my job, is to just try to do my best to, you know, keep Berklee connected to the industry and the industry connected to Berklee, and just have my eyes and ears open and looking on my Instagram. Because a lot of times my friends, you know, who are running these companies who have these amazing big artists, they're not being posted. The opportunities are not being posted on the Universal website. Mm-hmm. They're yeah. posting it on their Instagram, and we follow each other on Instagram. I see it. And then I send it and I say, hey, post this on BCM for the mm-hmm. students to see that there's an internship at this company that they would have never seen.
Yeah. I mean, those are great opportunities. And in exposing to different varieties of the industry, I always say, I think it's just as important to know what you don't want to do as much as you want to do. We had our last episode had Natalie Toro, and she wanted to be in a play, but they made her be like the assistant stage manager. And she was like, I did not want to do that.
Right.
But it was like the thing that kept her going. And so that it was like, I know I don't want to do that, so I need to kind of skew off into this area here.
Yeah, I always say it's not about where you start. Like, I always tell them, where you start isn't where you're going to end. You just have to get started. Like, mm-hmm. you just have to start. When I left home after I graduated college and was trying to figure out the music business, I haven't lived like I left Atlanta when I was 2 years post-grad, mm-hmm. like, to figure it out. But I knew that once I stepped forward, I was like, I would never step back.
Right.
The next time I was in Atlanta for a long period of time, pandemic, and I bought a house right. in the middle of the city of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So that's to say that, hey, you just have to get started. And I think what I've been kind of encountering a little bit with some of the students is just that, you know, like, they're nervous to start. And so I do my best to encourage them to just start. The song that you put out today, you want to be able to see your evolution 5 years from now, even a month from now, even 5 days from now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so I think that it's just about putting it out there so people can say, hey, I like it. Or if they don't, but you can say, oh man, I know what I can do better next time. But if you just continue to hold on to it and no one hears it,
yeah.
then you don't have anything to compare yourself to, because this is all you're comparing yourself to yourself,
right?
But you have to put it out there, you have to get started. And so I just always encourage them, just start. I promise you, you'll never, I'm a firm believer in effort. Mm-hmm. I will always say, I appreciate you trying. I like when people at least try. At least if you try, you can never regret never shooting the shot. But anybody who knows sports, you always regret 100% of the shots that you do not take. You have to take the shot.
Yep.
Or you have to take the shot. If you don't take the shot, you didn't give yourself a chance to miss it or make it. Mm-hmm. But if you miss it, get that rebound and try again.
Yes. That's what Jaquel and I talk about all the time, is keeping yourself in the game long enough to have the opportunity to do that, you know? It's so important.
And then get back on defense if you have to.
Right?
Yeah. Shooters are going to shoot. And I
shooters
always...
Shoot.
Shooters are going to shoot. And it's always good to take that leap, right? So what do you see as the biggest needs for support for students after they graduate?
Okay. One of the things that I have, like you heard me say earlier in regards to just letting them kind of understand that, like, people in the industry are a lot more cool than you realize. Mm-hmm. And so that networking part of it, they, you know, like, it's just that ability to, okay, how do I talk to them? How do I follow up? And so I've kind of been trying my best, just from the position that I'm in, to, like, get them, like, just ready for that part of it. Because I think that, like, once they get out there, you get more comfortable in just exercising the muscle. But if you just graduate, you've never gone through the process of that, and then you just get out there, you don't, you literally feel like you're just stuck.
Right.
And so I think that for me, what I've kind of noticed is just that ability to get them ready mm-hmm. from that perspective of it, like that professional development part of it. That's the part that I feel like I've been doing my best to help them with, is the professional development portion of it.
Yeah, and like instilling confidence in them, yes. letting them know that it's not as bad. It's a big deal, but it's not going to be harmful.
And listen, I also tell them, like, hey, it can be something as simple as you see their shoes, and you may not like their shoes, but you can walk up and you can be like, shoes, yes, and start a conversation. Where'd you get your shoes? And it's just that simple. Now they have their guard down. They don't feel like the conversation is transactional. Right. And then now they start talking about themselves. I always kind of tell them, play into their ego a little bit if you need to, because the industry is full of people with egos. Mm-hmm. And so you just kind of have to just give them, leave with a compliment. Something as simple as their shoes, their glasses, just find something just to point out that they put effort into, and then you do that. Then the other part is, what I will also say is, you know, I also tell them, like, hey, like, yes, you may love their most popular artist or you may love their most popular piece of work, but it's important for you to figure out what else they have going on to add value in that, you know, in that right. respect, because everybody can't get on Ariana Grande and Sabrina Carpenter, but you should be figuring out who they're working on next. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's that other part of it, is like getting them to kind of see beyond just the surface of it.
Strategy.
I'm very big on that. Yeah. Like everything that I kind of say, I'm like, this is, I don't know. I just did it. I've done it and I continue to do it. And that's all I can tell them.
Well, that's great. I'm sure our students here are very thankful for all that you're doing. You know, it's definitely going to help them out now and in the future.
Right. So you got a tight schedule, like I said, because Career Jam is happening. Do you want to say a little bit about Career Jam, what you're excited for this year?
You know, we have Soul Jam tonight. It's the Black Student Alliance and the Black Student Union. They put on Soul Jam. That's in the CAF tonight. And then and also Perfect Pitch, which is the Songwriters Club. Cool. The songwriters have artists performing their music. And Rico Love, who's written for Beyonce, written for Shakira, written for some of the biggest artists. He will be there judging. And then tomorrow we have a full day of programming. Jessie Reyes will be here. A lot of the students know who she is. Obviously Charlie, I really, you know, I love the fact that we were able to bring him back here. That was like when I got here and they were like, hey, this is who, I was like, let me let him know that I'm here.
Right. Yeah.
So we can really, you know, really get him like pumped about the idea. And he was so excited. In addition to that, we have A&R label panel, A&R publishing panel. I'm actually moderating the A&R label panel. We have a management panel. We have Brent Faiez's manager coming here. All the students know who that is. We were able to lock in, you know, two amazing choreographers for the contemporary dance in addition to commercial dance. We were also able to get the classical music students to really have some representation. I'm very excited about the games and music panel that we put together as well, just about showing that bridge between music and gaming. Yeah. That's another thing that I talk to the students about. In addition to marketing, and we have a label marketing panel, culture marketing panel, that goes into bridging the gap between corporations and culture. We also have an agents panel. A lot of agents are coming, so I'm very excited about the programming that we're having.
It sounds amazing.
Sounds like a lot of information is going to be shared.
Yes.
So, yes.
And I'm getting texts from people like, I missed my flight. I'm like, oh gosh.
Well, it seems like you should get back on that now, but there's a lot of diverse opportunities for students, so thanks for putting that together.
No, yes, and I have an amazing team. The Career Center, we all fully support each other. It's been amazing being here. And my team, you know, the industry relations team has been absolutely amazing. We are just, we're doing this for the students. Yeah. This is no ego, no pride. This is for them, and we're so excited about it. And I'm excited about it. It's my first one. And everyone's like, are you stressed out? I'm like, I'm chilling.
I'm super excited for you to stick around to start to see the seeds of your work being sown and people coming back and telling you about all the work that you're doing now, how great that's going to be. So
yes, I've told them. So I'm basically going to be here through beta. So now it's Gen Z, then it's going to be alpha, then it's going to be beta. And then whatever comes after that, I'm here the whole time. I did not uproot, you know, after 12 years of living in LA, my wife and I to come to Boston and for this to be temporary. I plan on being here for a long time.
Yeah, and you don't commit to Boston winters for nothing.
Right. Thank you so much, LaToya, for coming out and sharing. We are very appreciative.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're going to take a break, and then we'll bring out our next guests.
Yes, yes, yes.
Career Jam is just around the corner, and we are gearing up for one of the most exciting events of the year at Berklee. It's an amazing opportunity for students to connect with prominent artists and industry leaders. Events like Career Jam are made possible by the support of our donors. If you want to help provide these opportunities to Berklee students, visit berklee.edu/giving.
Black coffee, I wake up to the smell of you. And waffles, don't worry, gonna taste you too. Loud car horns, won't you sing your songs to me? I'll listen, hear the city birds I need. I used to tread in negatives. They're easy to hold on, harder to move on. Disregard the evidence and the good going on. I'm looking up. I'm living day by day. I'm looking up. There ain't no better way. I dedicate this song to you. I'm happy, I'm hoping that you're happy too. The whole day in wonder of the mysteries unfolding, unfolding right in front of me. I used to tread in negatives. They're easy to hold on, harder to move on. They disregard the evidence and the good going on. I'm looking up. I'm living day by day. I'm looking up.
Our second guest, Krisha Marcano, Dean of Musical Theater for Boston Conservatory at Berklee. Welcome.
Hello.
We have a bio for you.
Yes.
I do.
We're going to read it out so people can know.
We took it from your from the website. I always take everything from the website because I figure someone has cleared it.
Okay. All right.
So you joined the Boston Conservatory as Dean of Theater in 2024. Prior to your educational career, you performed on the world's most prestigious stages, such as Martha Graham Dance Company and Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater. This is all right? Okay, good. I got the right Crecia Marcano. You also performed on Broadway in hit musicals like Fosse and Motown the Musical, and originated the role of Squeak in Oprah Winfrey's The Color Purple.
That's only to name a few.
You can just drop the mic there. That's it.
Yes. You got to do what you got to do, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. So thank you for coming out. How are you feeling today?
Okay, I'm really glad. I'm really happy that the sun has come out.
I said the same thing.
I'm really, really glad about
Honestly,
that.
Honestly, yes.
Yes.
The best thing.
Yes, so I'm the dean of the theater division, and we have two programs, musical theater and contemporary theater. Mm-hmm. So,
why don't you just tell us about how you got into theater? What's your origin story? What's your
origin
superhero story?
I started in dance, as the bio says. Mm-hmm. I was a contemporary dancer. Martha Graham's work, which is actually very dramatic, very theater-like, is my heart song. And after my concert dance life, necessity is the mother of invention. Do what you need to do in New York. I auditioned for everything that day, including musical theater, and got into the First National Tour of Fosse.
Wow.
Right? And so I started my musical theater life. Mm-hmm. Did a bunch of Broadway shows, and in that time, went back to school. In a sense, I got a vocal coach, vocal teacher, did acting classes, acting coach, did everything that I didn't do because I went to a conservatory of dance, not a conservatory for musical theater. So I had to go back and fill in the gaps. Okay. So, yeah, that's how I came about theater.
So what made you have that definite feeling like, you know what, this is for me, this is what I want to pursue for your musical theater career?
I think Fosse was such an easy transition because it's a dance show. And I'm the kind of person that is, I align with a school of thought. Bob Fosse's work sat with me well. I understood why he wanted to do what he did. I was interested in his why. I was interested in his style. I was interested in his body of work. Whether it was TV, whether it was live theater, you know what I'm saying? So I was interested in that, like I was interested in Alvin Ailey's work and his why and his company. I was interested in Martha Graham's work and her style, and not just her style, but her technique and why she was making a technique to get away from the rigor of ballet. Like, it was a time when they were saying, I want something different. You know, they were in a protest, if you will. So I'm that kind of person. So Fosse was the gateway drug.
Okay.
Mm. The theater, you know what I mean? And it was the best reason for me to get into musical theater, because I understood, I was interested in his style. And after that, I was bitten. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was bitten.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you see the process and you kind of know beginning, middle, and end, then it's like, oh, I can do this.
Oh yeah.
I can do that.
And I had a natural voice, and then it didn't take long to become a competitive singer, mm-hmm. and then I was given an understudy for a principal role in Fosse, and then I actually went on, and I was like, wait a minute. And then my agent was like, well, let's put you out there. And then I got The Color Purple, but in between there, I was a swing and a dance captain, so I was sort of in the fabric of Broadway and many different windows into the into the essence of what makes the show. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
So I got a chance to really understand the animal.
Okay, I
love the analogies.
Yeah,
got bit the animal. It's just great.
We had the sports stuff earlier. It's all great.
Yes.
What I'm fascinated by the term you originated the role of Squeak.
I did.
How is that different going into that than maybe an already established role that you're either replacing or, you know, that has been around for a while?
Yeah, that was the first time that I originated a role in theater. So usually when I do a Broadway show, I'm in the dance room first. But the dance room, they were rehearsing in the room next to me. And I could hear them rehearsing. And I'm in the acting room with the actors, like LaChance. Mm-hmm. And I was like, am I in the right room? What's happening? This is so different. But I tell you what, just watching LaChance, just let's take LaChance for example. Watching LaChance as Celie, it's the workshop that you can never pay for. You can't afford this workshop.
Priceless.
Priceless.
Mm-hmm.
Priceless. I learned so much in that one room of principles as an actor. I now know how to do it. Mm-hmm. And now, after doing it for so long, I now know how to teach it.
Yeah.
I will never be this. I was never the same. I was never the same. And it was different working with a choreographer than it was with a director, because the director knew I was brand new to this experience as an actor. And he said, okay, let's design Squeak. How do you want to approach it? And he gave me the opportunity to collaborate. Not every director is able to do that. Not every director wants to do that. So I was lucky. And I said, well, I'm a very physical person. As you know, I'm a dancer first. So can I physicalize her first? And then you can strip me away as a comfort zone. And he said, let's try it. So I was jumping on all the sets. I was swinging from the... I was all over the place. I was barefoot. And he was... All I did was make him laugh. And he was like, yes, 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 yes. And then slowly things had to be stripped away because... It was dangerous. It was crazy pants. It was, you know.
Yeah.
Right? So.
It was Spider-Man, turn off the dark.
Indeed. Blessings. Blessings on blessings. But I was lucky. I was blessed.
Mm. That's awesome. So what drew you to the conservatory?
It was my turn to pivot once again. Mm. And I told the universe, put me where I will be used the most. And I got into higher ed because I got into higher ed because performing, I needed to pivot because my body started to hurt too much. And I wanted to infiltrate higher ed to introduce entrepreneurship to art. Well, dancing, singing, acting, musical theater, and dance. Not knowing that they were ready for me. So I got a chance to teach business of acting, business of theater, taxes, you name it, right? And so it was time for me to pivot. I was assistant dean, so now I knew how to administrate a leading acting program. I know dance, I know musical theater, I know singing, and now I know how to administrate an acting program. It was time to put all of the things I've ever learned together. I said, put me where I'm best used. And a colleague of mine said, I just threw you under the bus. A search firm reached out, and this one is not for me, but I gave them your name. And the next day they called me. Mm. So it came to me.
Okay.
And I said, no, Boston Conservatory? You must be kidding. The Boston Conservatory? You must be kidding. I could not dream it. There's no way that could happen. Because it's Boston Conservatory. I mean, in my world, Boston Conservatory?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to put myself out there. I'll learn a lot from the process. And here I am.
Yep.
The universe had plans.
Right. You're again, exactly, you hang in there for the opportunity.
Yeah, you're exactly where you need to be.
I guess so.
That's important.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really cool that you mentioned pivoting. That's something that we get with a lot of the alums. You know, they always talk about the importance of pivoting and just kind of knowing. So it's cool to hear how you listened to your body and you knew that it was time to go to the next step in your career.
Yes, I have had a number of businesses in my career, and I have the Artistry Center, and one of the classes online that I used to offer is the Art of the Pivot. Mm. So I know how to pivot, so I put that class into
use.
I put my own I put myself through my own class.
Yeah.
So here we are.
I mean, that's amazing, all those different subjects you're talking about, because as soon as I graduated from college, I was like, why? I wish I had that.
Which is exactly why I decided it's time for higher ed. It's time for me to go to higher ed, because while I was in the dressing room trying to strategically plan and financially blah, 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 5, 6, 7, 8, and a 1, 2, 3, 4,
right,
I realized I was surrounded by people that didn't know what I was doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Didn't know on a national tour that this was the best way to reset financially, to raise your credit score about at least 75 points in 1 year. Like, that's, I mean, these are the things I was teaching at the time, and nobody knew it in the dressing room. Mm-hmm. So I had people on a plan. I had people in the dressing room on a plan. And I was like, I'm going to have to get people before they get out here.
Yeah.
Because what is happening? It's a whole gap.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Side note, Jaquel, we should put the podcast on a national tour right away.
Yes. I agree. I was actually thinking that.
Blessings.
No, seriously. So what
75 points, you say, huh?
Yes. I promise you.
We might have to have a private meeting later. But what is your take on the current state of musical theater?
Ooh-wee. All right. Okay. This is what I tell the students now. No longer can you have a career like mine. It's over. Finish. Kaputsky, never mind. It's over. You cannot decide, you know, I'm really best live. I'm not good on camera. I'm not going to do TV film. You know what I'm saying? I've decided. That doesn't exist. When it's not your season, what's the next thing? You have to be in all of the markets. You have to be on you have to be able, what is your TV film audition-ness? What is your stage-ness? Your commercial-ness? And what is your creating your own work and content-ness? This is your career now. This is your small business.
Mm-hmm.
Because no longer can you just decide that you're going to do theater. So when we say, what is your take on musical theater? It's not just musical theater. It's not just one market. Mm. I'm the dean, and one of my programs is musical theater. And they come in at 17 knowing that they know, because they've chosen before they even audition. Mm. But it's our job to, yes, it's a BFA and it's a performing degree, to get them to the performance and be able to perform as fast as possible so we concentrate. But it's our job to introduce them to all of the inner flames. This is what a 21st century conservatory is about.
Mm-hmm.
All of the different flames and all of the different markets before they leave. It's not a PhD and it's not an MFA. It's only a BFA, but it is our job to do on camera as core, entrepreneurship as core, dancing, singing, acting as core, voice, audition technique, script analysis, and creating your own work, content creation as core. So that means they might shower. Okay. Just so you know, I've invented lunch for next semester. We're going to work on dinner in 2026.
I love that term, 21st century conservatory. And I think that I look at some of the theater alumni that come out, you know, they've had success writing books in between things. You know, in the pandemic was a great example. A lot of theater people did different projects and found success. You know, if it was an album, if it was a book, if it was, you know, going on TV. What's the response from the students now being introduced to that kind of, like, you know, the seven streams of income and all that type of stuff?
I don't know about here, but it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
Because throughout the pandemic and before, if we take 2008 when the market crashed, too many young kids saw their parents or their neighborhood lose their homes. The pandemic traumatized too many people, with people losing family members. There are a lot of generations that feel unsafe. And unsafe meaning they don't have a concept of what safety is. You're not safe in school, you're not safe at church, you're not safe in mosque, you're not safe in temple, you're not safe in the grocery store, you're not safe in the movie theater, you're not safe in school, you're not safe in the street, you're not safe. So what they want us to do is to give them a guarantee. And here I am talking about, I need you to have all these things so that you are an octopus because you have a small bit. What they want me to tell them is that this is going to work no matter what.
Yeah.
That I cannot do. And that is unfortunate. Everything else is out of my hands.
But that's part of the learning process too.
Indeed. So as young minds that have not finished developing a frontal lobe, blessings on blessings, all I want to do is hold them and tell them it's going to be okay. I did it, and I'm crazy pants. I'm absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
If I can do it, you can. I grew up in a third world country. If I can do it, you can. If you want it, go get it. Just know that you know that you know. And ignore everybody else. That's what I did. But people wrote books and people did albums and people created work because they could afford to, because they had a strategic plan, because they saved money. You got to be able to afford to.
Yeah.
You have to be able to afford to lean into your mental health of taking a vacation.
Yep.
You have to afford to not take that crappy job for $300 at theater by the theater around the bush of the tree upon the other side. Because you had a plan of saving your money. To, like, you know what? I'm just going to rest between these two gigs. Or I know that I don't have a gig right now, but I'm going to rest because burnout is a thing.
Absolutely.
You have to have a strategic plan, which means you have to know finances 101, which means you have to know entrepreneurship. That's why artistry, entrepreneurship, and wellness are the trifecta.
I love that wellness is in there.
It has to be.
Yeah.
But you have to afford it.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the thing that we talk about with the kind of business aspect too, of sometimes you don't, sometimes people miss out on that part. But when you are putting in these, like, distribution points and also the self-care stuff. You know, that's a lot of the content that we do with the Alumni Affairs, is asking alumni, how are you taking care of yourself? How can you share other ideas with other alumni? It's so important.
And the one thing that alumni are asking for is they should come back to us for career development. It's a BFA. We cannot give them absolutely everything at to the depth at which they need. They should be able to come back to us for us to continue their education.
And that email is KR.
Make sure you reach out to her. Yeah. That was awesome. Thank you for all of that insight. I think we have learned a lot and can apply it to our own individual lives.
One more thing.
Yes.
Is there a way that higher ed can teach how to find the joy when you are making the thing that you love into a business? Because it will come for your joy in a way. Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord has mercy.
Well, you know, one thing that Jaquel and I talk about with that, and just kind of grinding every day in a creative field, is dream time, you know?
Yes.
Sometimes I get so stuck on a project, I'll go to the MFA and I'll go up to a painting like this and I'll be like, I bet the painter really didn't like that brushstroke. You know, go watch a movie, go do something, but be able to let your mind wander and be curious.
For goodness sake, people should skip.
Skip what?
Like skip.
Skip.
Yeah. Skip.
I'll let Jaquel do that.
Skipping. Do something crazy. Play jacks on the floor like a child.
How do you restore your joy?
I skip. I play jacks and I wear crazy pants.
Okay.
The next time I see you walking down Boylston Street, I'm going to skip with you.
Yes. And I'm a Muppet. Because this is too much. Life is too much right now. So Find a Muppet. Find your inner Muppet.
And find that joy.
Thank you very much, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we will be heading to our last break. We will be right back.
Town. bend like a pendulum, my friend. I've been hanging here this whole time.
All right, and we are back. And some of our colleagues, Jaquel, just sent us some pictures of us up here. And yes. I can't tell if I'm running for Senate or I'm supposed to give the box scores.
Let's do the box scores because, you know, we are the city of championships.
All right, well, the Red Sox won last night and the Celtics and Bruins lost.
Man, did you see the Celtics game? We got blown out. I don't know.
I didn't see the Celtics game. I was too busy preparing for this live episode
of the podcast.
Oh,
of course. You know, the Celtics just get the blood going. But like you said, we are back, and our third guest is Berklee College student Sue Yavuz. Welcome.
Rolls off the tongue.
So just a little bit about her. Sue began playing piano at the age of 10. As a former Berklee City Music student, Sue is in her first year at Berklee and will be performing at Boston Calling next month. So congratulations to that.
Thank you so much. How are you doing? I'm doing great. You know, I'm super excited to be here. And yeah, I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah.
Sue was like, we asked you right away and you were like, yep. And we're like, can you come for the sound check at this time? Yes. Everything like boom, boom, boom. Like such a professional.
Ready.
Yeah.
She was born ready. Yes, absolutely. So how did you wind up pursuing a career in music? Like, what about music? Like, what was your origin story?
I must say, I always had music in my life, like my passion for it, like just ever since I was a baby. And, you know, like just performing and creating has always like been my favorite thing. So just a career path other than music wouldn't be a thing for me, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So no accounting or geology or anything like that? No? Okay.
Yeah.
So how did you wind up here at Berklee?
I mean, I wanted to come to Berklee because of like the great musicians, like faculty and the environment. And like, as you guys mentioned, like I did Berklee City Music. I started kind of Berklee my sophomore year of high school. Like I started taking classes and, other than that, yeah, just, you know, ever since I started Berklee, I feel like I found like my voice on my instrument and like my style in a way. Because I played like many genres and like I didn't want to be just one like genre musician, pianist or whatever. I want to be like considered a musician that plays everything.
Awesome.
That's awesome. So as we mentioned, you will be performing in Boston Calling. Like, how exciting is that? How do you feel about that?
I feel super like, I feel amazing. So, so excited. I already like started planning my set list and everything, like the people that I wanted to like call for the gig, like the second I got, the gig. So I was like, I'm still planning for it obviously. And going to start rehearsals like probably next week. Okay. And I'm super excited. Yeah.
People don't know, but when we were on the phone, I reminded you we were at an Amplify Berklee gala, right. And Sue performed on the stage, and Jaquel and I were roving reporters, and we ran backstage and put a microphone in her, and like, how is it to just perform right now?
Right, like, tell
us your
thoughts.
It was great.
I know. Yeah, I mean, all those like galas and stuff too, like they shaped me. Like, I wouldn't be playing at like, you know, galas. Like, I never would have thought, if I had to be honest, and. Just like performing there, even like you putting the mic on my face, like that still looks also like I love it. I enjoyed it and it's a great opportunity experience for me.
Yeah. So what is it like to balance the life of a student and a performer?
Ooh, it's definitely challenging, but I love it because I love what I do and just like I wouldn't like change a thing, if that makes sense. Like I love working, I love to be busy. Like, even when I'm not busy, I just, like, I'm depressed. Like, oh, I need some stuff in my life. Like, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. So I don't think, like, it's that much of a big deal for me, but it is challenging, obviously.
Awesome. All right. Well, we're going to wrap things up here, and then we're going to pass it to you to play us out. Yes. So, Jaquel, the time has come.
Oh, I was just having fun.
Like LaToya's favorite band, we've hit the end of the road.
A good one. Okay, yes, but yes, we just want to say thank you to everyone that helped put this production on to help it be such a success. Mm-hmm. We also just want to make sure everyone knows to follow us on our Instagram, which is at Berklee Alumni. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, definitely our YouTube. Anything I'm missing?
I don't think so. No. No. That was it.
Okay.
I had a big don't forget, but you said it, so you didn't forget.
Thank you.
We also want to thank GBH Studio and the Boston Public Library and the Newsfeed Cafe. It's been amazing.
Yes.
The email chain going on, mostly from me, is just like a gigantic scroll. So thank you for putting up with that, all of our friends here. Thanks to Juan Jose and Patrick and Maddie and Sandra for giving us this opportunity.
Absolutely.
I hope that we did right by them. And then we want to thank our alumni affairs team.
Yes.
Joe and Colleen in Georgia.
Georgia.
My bodyguard.
Yes.
Donna James and Zach.
Yes.
Thank you to all our Berkeley colleagues for coming out and supporting us.
Thank you guys for supporting us.
It's been amazing. And
we also want to thank our students, Laura, yep, who's been taking some great photos of us. And then we have Jonah, who's been running the show, who's like, yep, had me start and then stop. But it's okay. I really appreciate you and all that you guys do for us and our team.
And Jonah's the one who's been editing all of our podcasts this whole time. So
yes, he also created our intro jingle. And unfortunately, he will be graduating, so we will definitely be missing him. So everybody, make sure you go check him out and say hey. But yeah, that's all that we have.
Thank you, everyone, one and all.
Thank you so much. All right, Sue, take it away.
Sue.
You thinking, you think that you could be better off with somebody new? No, oh baby, no. You say you're leaving. Well, if you wanna leave, there ain't nobody stopping you. No, oh baby, I won't beg for your love, won't say please, I won't fall to the ground on my knees. You know I've given this everything, baby, honestly, baby, honestly. I lie for you, baby, lie for you, baby. I cry for you, baby. But tell me what you done for me, for you, baby. Only you, baby, the things I do, baby. But tell me what you done for me. I never cheated, deleted everyone, cause they made you uncomfortable. No, oh baby, no. These accusations, I can't apologize for something that I didn't do. No, oh baby, I won't beg for your love, won't say please, I won't fall to the ground on my knees. You know I've given this everything, baby, honestly, baby, honestly. I lie for you, baby, die for you, baby. I cry for you, baby. But tell me what you done for me, for you, baby. Only you, baby, the things I do, baby. But tell me what you done for me.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, guys.